Hey, Jason, how's it going, buddy?
Not too bad.
What brings you back to the Okanagan again?
We're going up to the Renegade Riot in Cherryville this weekend, a biker event.
So it's like a big concert, bikers get together or what?
I think there was close to 400 people there last year. It was in the campground just in Cherryville in the valley there.
Oh, wow.
It was a shit show.
A shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah, most biker rallies are, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. They put on a good event.
Do they?
Yeah.
They have, like, live bands and stuff there?
Yeah, there's music going on. There's I was so blasted on mushrooms, I can't tell you what they were doing. But
Well, that's a way to have a good time there, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. How many years has it been going on now?
I think 4 or 5 now. COVID interrupted it, so I think it's probably the fourth event.
Fourth event.
Yeah.
Have you been to every one?
This will be my third.
Third, cool.
Yeah.
Now, there's a whole bunch of you guys that go up there for this, isn't it?
Yeah, all the Lord's guys are going to be up there. And then, so they're headed there now. They'll be there tonight. And we're going to go in the morning. And my liver will probably run away.
What is Lord's?
It's a motorcycle clothing apparel company.
They're out of the Lower Mainland, are they?
Yeah. good friend of mine, Tyler Hazelwood, started that. He's got a couple different brands underneath the Lords, but he's just a motorcycle enthusiast and puts on great events. He's one of those guys that he's very, very good at putting a good group of people together and having one hell of a time.
Cool. If I remember correctly, you guys did a ride down to Mexico too, didn't you?
Yeah, Lust for Dust. So we go down there every April down to Mazatlan for Bike Week. And it's the motorcycle beach party. You've never seen anything like it.
Did you guys ride from Canada down?
Trailer the bikes down to the Nogales border and then ride from there down to Mazatlan for 3 to 4 days.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, party for a week and then try to make it back.
Anybody get damaged down there at all?
Lots. A few broken bikes, a couple wipeouts here and there. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I bet you met some pretty interesting people down there too, eh?
Oh, it's the biggest party that I've ever seen in my life. The whole strip is completely lit up. They let you do basically anything you want on your motorcycle. Just don't crash. And then, there had to be, the first year that I was there, there was probably 100,000 people there, like all for the different events that were going on for that whole week.
100,000 people?
Yeah.
For one event? Like they
4 days.
They come from all over the U.S. and Canada then, I assume?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there's just parties all over the different spots throughout the whole strip of Mazatlan. So the entire strip is just one big party.
Did they, like, close the Federale, I guess that's what they call them down there, Federale, they close that all off for you?
They keep a good, you know, they monitor it, but they, from what I see, they just let you do what you want to do. Hmm. Mexico is, nothing's illegal there. It's just frowned upon.
Yeah, I remember a certain trip where that was kind of the saying. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt. Now, you're off the subject of biking. You and your brother own a fairly large company, or used to. You guys sold it here not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, my brother was the owner of Pace, and I was in with that. I came on with him in 2004, and then the company sold in late 2019.
Now, I think the first time I ever seen that, it was a one-bay garage, right?
Yeah, it was not where you would expect to see a food company.
Right.
There was a machine shop, a battery shop, a woodworking place, and some type of recycler across the road from us. And then we started a little 1,500-square-foot shop there that my brother started in. And
that was what? 15 years ago?
He started that in 2001.
So yeah. What are we now? So, yeah.
And then
13 years? Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My math's not working too great today. That's okay. Hang on a sec. Yeah, beer break. So you guys got that. You started it out in a one bay shop, and you guys built that company to?
When it sold, it was about $50 million a year.
$50 million a year. And how many staff?
Just over 400.
Oh, man, I can't imagine. That's got to be tough.
It's a grind. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you also wouldn't want to do anything else, right?
How do you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, the two of us have always worked very well together. Sean's just, his vision of business is second to none. And I've got a very good knack for processing and machinery. So which was something that I picked up as we went on. It was something that I didn't know I had, but it worked out quite well.
And so you took over. So Sean's the brains of the company, and then you took over pretty much the manufacturing end of it, did you not?
Basically, if it's processing and getting the machines running and, you know, working with the service team and then product development as far as, like, you know, Sean would bring on working with the customers what the vision was for the product, and then basically my job would be to make sure that we get it running for production.
Cool. Yep. And I'm assuming you guys run a lot of different products, though.
Oh, yeah, there's... a lot of the stuff is made, you know, different SKUs out of the same type of product, per se. Mm-hmm. But there's, I mean, our listings-wise, there's got to be a couple hundred different products there.
So I guess one of the questions I have to ask you, with what's going on in Canada right now, and everybody's complaining about the price of food, what is your take on that as being a manufacturer?
I don't think our government's done us a very good favor being in any type of business in Canada any longer. But when it comes to food and farming, it's very difficult to keep your margins in line, make sure that you're profitable while you're also paying, you know, some pretty heavy taxes. You know, the carbon tax, that's, you know, equates to 30% of the inflation rate. So everything that moves is continually taxed.
30%.
That's what they equate it to. 30% of the inflation rate.
Okay, so if you listen to the average person on the street today, they're complaining that the price of groceries are too high. Is that from the manufacturing end, or is that from the retail end?
Well, I think the retailers are coming a little bit back in line. You know, obviously, they got caught with a pretty big scandal there about 2 years ago.
What scandal was that?
The price gouging with the bread. Was it Loblaws? I'd have to pull it up to make sure that I'm speaking accurately. But basically, you know, you've got very tight margins in a manufacturer. You're going to probably, if you're making, you know, 20 to 25%, you're doing very well.
As a manufacturer.
As a manufacturer, but then, you know, all your overhead and your bills are coming out of that.
Right.
So you've got very little room for things that are continually escalating in price, sugar, flour, you know, right now it's chocolate, cocoa, you know, before that it was starches, you know, flour, like it's just always, something's always spiking, and you're always trying to make sure that you're trying to curb that, because you can't give price increases to the retailers like people think you can. You've got to...
They control that? They control what you
they
can
only
charge?
Accept a certain amount per year. Usually you've got three opportunities, but you have to speak to those as to why you're giving the price increase to begin with. And anytime you do that, you're risking for that product to go out to tender, because they're going to go searching for somebody else that can try to do it cheaper.
Somebody that'll try and undercut your price.
Yep.
Okay. So with everything we hear with, because I mean, I know Loblaws and all the big stores were brought up in front of the Canadian government, mm-hmm. and they were talking to them about pricing. Was it them that was raising the prices so much during, I mean, that 3 years of COVID or whatever that was that we had?
Yeah, I wish I followed it closer than I did. I'd have to read up on it again to speak accurately. But I know that they were price gouging on items like bread, where they were. I don't know what the percentage is per se, but I mean 300% markup.
300%.
Yeah.
Markup on bread.
Yeah.
Holy, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that everybody should be eating bread anyway, but I mean, it's still a big, big thing. So I would imagine that's the flour, and that, that cost was passed on to you guys as well.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, everything that does come in for a price increase, of course, just gets, it has to get handed down to somebody. So it's going, it's always the end user that's taking it.
Right.
You know, my view and many others that run a business, if you, if minimum wage goes up, so does the product. So
absolutely. And that was a funny thing. I think that was in 2000 and I want to say 18 when, do you remember when Tim Horton's staff were doing that big uprising that they wanted their, what they call a living wage?
Yeah.
It was huge. It was all over the news. Mm-hmm. But nobody realized that as soon as we have that happen in the country, retailers, whether it's you guys or in any other business, just tax that onto the price of the service or the product.
Of course.
So nobody ever gets ahead.
Of course. And, you know, to be fair, you know, some of the retailers, you look at the, you know, brick and mortars are a very tough business to be in now. Like, you don't have to go to a grocery store to get anything. You can just Amazon it.
That is true. You know? I mean, I love Amazon. Jeff Bezos, thank you very much, because I live in the middle of nowhere, basically. And to get stuff delivered, absolutely. But I do understand that we as a community do have to support our locals, for sure. But still, I mean, the pricing of everything, right? The price goes up, everything else goes up. What about universal basic income? What do you think of that?
So you just pay somebody to sit on their ass?
Well, I guess. Like, I don't quite understand how that would work. I did listen to a podcast.
I think you can just look at any socialist country and know that it's not going to work out for you.
How do you?
You have no interest in doing anything better than the next guy. Why would you? I get paid the same as you. Why do I have to work harder?
But I think the universal basic income is based on, I don't even know how we got here. Okay, but we're going with this. Let's just do it. Universal basic income is based on giving some, from what I understand, from what I've read, they want to make sure everybody has enough money to live. Doesn't mean they have enough money to go buy Harley Davidson's, boats, new cars and stuff like that. But it gives them that basic income so that they can afford to put food on their table, have a roof over their head. As far as I understand, do you know anything more about it?
I don't know. I guess what I do know about it, I would have to educate myself more to make sure that we could get into it like that. But, I mean, all those ideas are usually stemming from some type of, in my mind, is some type of socialist view that if you just look back at history or countries that are currently using it, it doesn't work.
Which countries are currently using it?
I'm not. Or go to Cuba.
Okay. They have a universal basic income?
Well, there? Basically everybody, you basically everything's paid for. Right, like you've got highly educated people there that are working in hotels making nothing. Right, so
is that because they don't have the industry there?
Well, I mean, you could go back in history to blame a lot of things on the U.S. You know, basically has crushed that country. But take a look back at anybody that's tried to, you know, say that they're gonna have equal pay or equal. Look at Justin Trudeau currently. He wants to make sure that everything's equal for everybody. Really?
Yeah. Well, I think we know what's happening with Justin Trudeau. He's going to be gone here soon.
But that was his whole stance.
Yes, I know it was. But I kind of understand where it's coming from. There's a majority of the population that either, and I may sound really bad by saying this, but I'm just going to throw it out there, they didn't bother going to school to learn how to do anything more than what they're doing now. And that is a very large part of our population. You'll have to excuse our production manager back here.
Can you use that opener over there? That was terrible.
Is this for your co-conspirator?
Yes,
there?
It
okay.
Is.
Yeah, welcome to Over the Bar on Friday or Thursday night. All right, so enough of that. Pierre Poilievre, what do you think of that boy?
I think, I mean, realistically, he's the only guy that we can vote for. I I don't have a lot of faith in any of the politicians anymore. I don't think that we're... I think that whoever takes over, if we don't give them at least two terms, we're going to bounce back and forth like we always have, and we're going to end up in a worse spot than we are now.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think the Conservatives, last time they were in there for two terms as well.
Yeah.
And then the Liberals definitely, I believe, have had it for the longest, longest run. Trudeau's dad had, I think, three terms in office. And now we've got, Mr. Trudeau.
If this turd makes three terms, we're fucked.
Oh, thank you. I didn't want to say it, but good. Yeah, turd is right. The man cannot answer a question. Very good at what? Not answering?
Yeah, he's very good at it.
And Krista Freeland, what is with her?
I think they're all cut from the same cloth.
She has the twitch from hell. And when we used to own the bar business, when people walked in like that, you know, we thought they were definitely a substance problem maybe there, but it's hard to say. But I have never seen anybody twitch like that.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if the Conservatives come back in. I would hope that they fire Alberta back up immediately, because that's going to be about the only thing that's going to get us anywhere.
Get the country back up and running properly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to rely on our resources instead of attacking them.
Oh, for sure. And I do understand that with the climate change and everything, people
they're
going
to have to ditch the climate tax, because if the farmers right now, like a hothouse tomato farmer cannot produce tomatoes cheaper than taking a truckload of tomatoes up from Mexico to here.
Yes, I did hear that. So that's what Pierre Poilievre's thing is. He's axed the tax, build the homes, bring it home is his thing.
The only thing I don't hear from him is the plan. He's talking about, okay, we'll axe this, we'll axe that. Okay, but where are you going to get the money from?
Where's the money? Exactly. Where's the plan? Now, he did say that with governments, he's going to get rid of some of the red tape by giving them more money if they get rid of the red tape. So can he do it? But you're absolutely correct. Pierre Poilievre, axe the tax, build the homes, bring it home, however his slogan goes. But we haven't had any substance from him yet, which is the only worrisome part that I see. Generational, you're talking about.
Yeah, I was watching this. There was this older gentleman who was speaking to a young kid. And he was he's said it better than I'm going to now. But the concept behind his statement was that every fourth generation forgets. And he was talking to this kid, and he said, "There's the generation that had to fight, then there's the generation that recovered, then there's the generation that doesn't is all party and it's a good time, and now there's a generation that has forgotten everything that everybody had to fight for, and we're there now. So if we get to this young generation right now that forgets everything, like some of the stuff that's happening out there where they want to tear down statues and rewrite history books and everything else that's going on, and censor information, then that's inevitably what's going to happen. And then what's really ruined us, like I was saying, is the internet. And think about how AI is going to affect my grandkids.
AI is going to take over everything. AI, this is the point that I want to make, is when we talk about generations forgetting, God forbid if there's a world war now.
Well, there is wars going on. We don't have a draft.
Canada does not have a draft. They ever brought a draft back in? I think I'm going to say 70% of those kids that got drafted would run and hide. I think their parents would hide them, even, to tell you the truth. Because even the parents couldn't
handle it.
That
would have happened back in the days that they had a draft, too. I think the bigger difference is that the larger percentage of people actually wanted to fight for their country.
Nobody wants to fight for their country anymore. A very small few
people.
Yeah.
More people want to fight for their individual rights, thankfully. Yeah, and hopefully that would be the bonding, something that would bond people together in a group if something did happen for war, because something's going to have to bring us together.
Yeah, I have no idea what it's going to be.
Because right now it's just a bunch of separation and divide.
Yeah. And now, like you say, AI. What's AI going to do to us? What's AI going to do to the kids?
It takes away all of the creativity of the human mind.
All of it.
All of it. Why do you need to do anything?
So I myself have been...
Write me a book. Write me a song. Write me this. Write me that.
You can do it all on AI now.
Yeah.
I went through a long course trying to learn how to do videos and stuff like that for advertising and things like that. And now with AI, I mean, you can go to Leonardo .AI or whatever the heck it is. You put in your prompts of what you want, and out pops a video with a girl walking down the street that looks like she's in downtown New York, and it's all AI generated.
Yeah.
There's not one real person in the thing.
So, you know, and it's going to hurt the industries that... Let's take a look, like Hollywood.
Oh,
They're like in the last 5 years. How political has that group become?
Right,
right. Like they want to open their mouth about politics constantly. What are they going to have? There's going to be no movie stars. Why would they need you?
They'll be all generated.
They're all generated.
AI. Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff that you see out there is absolutely amazing. It's hard to tell the difference.
But how do you cap it? For example, if the government came in and said, like anything else, AI is legal, but you can only do this with it, and we're going to control it, what happens?
Well, they're pretty much going to have to do that.
Yeah, but what happens when a government does that? A black market becomes available.
True. But I think government's probably going to go more towards the artificial intelligence that's your robots. I don't think they're really going to care a whole lot about what pictures you can make or if you can draw a better picture on the internet than or through one of these AI-generated apps than the guy that can... Well, you're an artist. You do drawings. I mean, yeah, it takes talent to do that. But we're going to get to a point where we don't need talent anymore. But I don't think the government's going to regulate that part. I think they're going to regulate the part where we have, let's take the movie Aliens. When you have the robotic guy in there, I can't remember his name. I just watched the whole, that was a
yeah. They're going to make sure that an average citizen can't weaponize or anything like that. But they're going to make sure that they control the information and the access to information.
Well, for sure, the government always does.
Ultimately, that's going to be a very easy way to control the society.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't know what's true and what's not true. Correct. I mean, if you look at what's out there now, you can...
How well AI is going to tie to politics until our government gets caught severely abusing it.
But what happens when AI gets smart enough and wipes out the government? Ooh, let's go deep.
We'll wipe ourselves out before that.
You don't think AI is going to be the one to hit the button?
No.
I don't know.
No, we're too destructive.
Remember the Terminator?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to put us all into extreme poverty. I think there's going to be...
Well, I think that's why they're talking about universal basic income now, is because they realize that AI is coming and it's going to take out a lot of jobs, for sure.
Yeah, but it'll still remain the richer. There's going to be the rich, and there's going to be no middle class.
It's going to be a rich
very
and poor
and very, very rich.
Yeah, I definitely can see it happening that direction. So as Elon Musk says, we have to regulate. He's the one pushing for regulation, surprisingly enough.
Well, he actually said that we don't ever introduce it.
Yeah, well, he said we had to be very careful of it. I think he was one of the first ones to get on board with the AI.
Yeah.
But then he realized, okay, this can become very dangerous.
Oh, it won't take long.
He's developing his own AI company.
Do you have that in writing?
It was on the news today.
Yes. Well, isn't Elon Musk part of... Didn't he invest in the GPT chat?
Whatever we think that we know, how much of it do we not know? Like, whatever they say that we should fear, they're already doing it.
Can you Google... Can you Google Elon Musk's new AI company? I haven't heard of that.
Did you know that Disney is going back and editing all of their movies to not have clear skies? They're having the chemtrails in the skylines.
To not have clear skies, they're going to put chemtrails in? What's the point of doing that?
So that no child today ever sees what a Clear Sky was back when we had them. It's fucking weird, but it's fucking true.
Why would they do that?
It's weird, right?
That's totally weird. Well, like, it makes no sense to me.
It didn't on Joe Rogan's episode either.
Wow. Put chemtrails in the sky so no kid ever got to see what a blue sky was.
Yeah.
Totally weird.
Yeah, I don't
but
understand
it. But if you look at if you go get a new copy of some of the old movies as they do this, there's cloud trails.
Really?
Yeah. Which were not in the movies before.
I'm struggling to see what the point of
me
that,
too. It's fucking weird, right?
Yeah. Is that okay? I have no idea. Did you find that at all?
What I heard today on the news was that Elon Musk is so against the new Apple AI program that's coming out just because he's warned them that it's dangerous, but he's developing his own AI program.
A group of investors will put up $6 billion to fund development of artificial intelligence by Elon Musk's XAI.
Yes.
The company said on the website Sunday that the Series B funding round will be used to take XAI's first production products to market and speed up research. Oh, wow. This man is incredible. I don't care what anybody says about Elon Musk. I know there's people out there that hate him. I love the guy.
Me too. He built a fucking ugly truck, though.
Where was that? We seen that. We were driving around and we seen one.
Clone Airport.
Clone Airport,
like,
and it's pulling out.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, pulling out, and it's like, that is got to be the ugliest truck
like,
I've ever
no
seen.
No way that gets anybody laid. No way.
Well, maybe if you're a geek.
I guess so.
Yeah, a computer geek that's driving that. He'd be pretty cool. It's like driving a Tesla. Come on, I mean. Nobody's delayed driving a Tesla either.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No.
Harley. Dodge. 4x4 jacked up. I don't know. Corvettes. Yeah, those get you laid. Not a Tesla. Definitely not a Tesla
kids
truck.
Kids today are riding scooters.
You're always going back to the kids. I have no faith in the new. I really don't. I mean, being an employer, and I'm sure you've been through the same thing, hiring young people today.
I honestly, I've stopped looking at it as a generational thing. I just think that by and large, in general speaking, there's a very small percentage of people that want to be excellent at what they do. I don't think that that's changed through generations. I think that's always been.
Always been?
Yeah, I think, look back to any generation, there's going to be people that they wanted to punch in their 8 hours and they wanted to do as minimal
as
possible.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I think what's happened now is obviously the population's bigger and we get to see everything that happens. Like anything that happens in any city, in any town, is immediately for everybody's view.
Because of the internet.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So we get to see it and we get bombarded with all of this fucking retards that are on these. Like, you look at what people are doing and you're like, you're fucking retarded.
You're talking online?
Online.
Oh, remember that barista that got onto, was it Facebook or TikTok or Instagram, one of those three, and was crying on there because the boss made her work an extra 10 minutes. I can't remember what it was, but she was crying on there saying how abused she is as an employee.
Yeah.
I mean, kids nowadays, you're correct. Nobody really wants to work and learn to get ahead. Everybody wants, they want the money first and then they'll learn.
Yep.
They don't take what they can get, learn, and then increase their wage. Anyway, we're hammering on young people again. There's a lot of good young people out there.
Yeah, but I think it's, we were the same. Like my dad at a certain age, I guarantee you, he looked at me and was like, what the fuck is this flake doing? Like, for fuck's sakes. You know, but I looked at...
Do you know what the problem with that is? Every generation has wanted to make it better for their kids, so they make it easier on them.
Sure enough.
And I think it's just gotten to the point where it's gotten really bad. Dr. Spock, when he brought out his book on not spanking kids, that's where it started to go downhill,
I think.
We're
at the fourth generation.
Hey?
We're at the fourth generation.
Yeah. And Dr. Spock ruined it. And not the live long and prosper Dr. Spock. I'm talking about the Dr. Spock that said you can't spank your kids. You have to give them time outs. How did that ever work?
If I was a parent today, I wouldn't listen to that bullshit.
No, I think they deserve a good smack on the ass.
I think the biggest challenge that young parents have right now is trying to make sure that their kid has actual healthy nutrition.
It's a proven fact that's almost impossible.
I know. Well, I mean, think about it. You know, for my mom, when she had to feed us. Right,
she cooked everything. She couldn't go to the grocery store and buy already ready-made hamburgers, or maybe you could back them. I don't think so.
No, and even the stuff that you could wasn't nearly as bad as what's in there today. Like, go to some grocery stores and they've got bread on the shelf that lasts 30 fucking days.
I have canned cheese that comes from the States that says you do not need to refrigerate. Should I be eating it? No, but it's damn good.
That being said, you got the, you know, all the challenges that everybody has in front of them as far as like being able to buy a house, the income that you're making compared to the cost of living, and then what can you buy with the money that you have, and they force you into these fucking fast food, $5 little box of food. That's absolute fucking garbage. And then you wonder why your kid is not performing.
Or sick all the time.
Sick. Everything that stems from somebody being sick stems from being from inflammation in the body. Nutrition. So if you are eating things that it's inflaming your joints, it's making you, you know, bloat, swell, it's leading to major sicknesses that we hadn't. Nobody had to deal with that before.
That's because my mother, your mom, cooked basically everything from scratch. You might get the odd, she'd go to the store and buy some ice cream. Or I remember TV dinners were big back then, which was probably the most garbage food you could buy at that point. TV dinners.
But the same token, if she went to the grocery store and bought a thing of milk, it was milk.
Correct.
Now that same mother goes and buys milk that's got all sorts of fucking hormones in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is it by choice?
No, really. It's all they can
get. By design.
It's all they can get for one thing. And then you try and buy non-pasteurized milk from a dairy. That's illegal.
Yeah.
Can't do things
like that.
You know, but I understand that.
Too. I mean, I've gravitated, in our household, we've gravitated more and more to buying at the local market, buying from their neighbors for our eggs, ordering our cow once a year. You know, it's an entirely different way of eating. That's for sure.
But it's an expensive way of eating.
Not really.
I think that it's by design when all your food manufacturers are making.
But if you take, like, for the beef, for example.
Okay.
You get your butcher to dry age a very well-raised, grass-fed beef, no hormones, nothing added to it, you know. And then buy that same fucking cut of meat or even that ground beef and cook it right beside one another and see what you end up with. It's just full of fucking, they pump it full of water.
The beef?
Yeah.
Before they slaughter?
Your chicken, anything. It's all, like, cooked. We get chicken from a local farmer just 4 or 5 blocks from us. You can cook that chicken against another chicken, and by the time they are done, weight-wise, it's significantly smaller from the grocery store. Significantly smaller.
Okay. I know that for ourselves, we try and source out local stuff, too.
What I'm saying is that the money that you're buying for that pound, yes, it's a little bit more, but by the time you cook it, you still end up with more.
More meat versus
what you can start. So it's not as expensive as you think. And the other thing is that what I've learned is we don't need
practice. Did they all do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have to make it shelf stable.
To make it shelf stable.
Yeah. So they'll take their beef and they'll grind the beef. It's all washed. They've got to, you know, whatever they're washing it in, depending on what country it's being manufactured in. And buy a pack of ground beef from the store, and that could be like 10 fucking cows in there from four different kill plants.
Correct. Yeah,
it's disgusting.
I'm sorry. I can't get over this. The pumping it full of water and the shrinkage. I'm gonna have to try that out.
Yeah, I've done it myself. I've taken my ground beef that I've got from my butcher and taken the one right from the grocery store, and the color and the water and the steam that comes off of the
store bought
is disgusting.
Yeah, because I know that there's a significant difference in color if you go and get your hamburger from a local processor versus the store.
Oh, huge.
One's a dark red and one's a really pink.
It's pink, and that's coloring and everything else that they're adding to it to make sure that thing doesn't turn brown underneath the lights of the store.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we went in research. We found a local supplier here for bacon and stuff like and sausage.
Way better, right?
Yeah, and we asked her not to put nitrates into it.
Yeah.
And she said, well, we can't do that. And I said, well, why not? She says, because nobody will, you won't eat it. It'll look brown. I said, I don't care what color it is.
Yeah.
I care what it tastes like and what I'm putting into my body.
Yeah.
And she made our bacon and our breakfast sausages and best dill pickle pepperoni ever. Ooh, you had some.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. She makes it with no nitrates.
Yeah, and our butcher is much the same. If you pick up your cuts, they're frozen immediately. It's all frozen packs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not that it won't last, but it's not meant to. It doesn't have anything in it.
The stuff you get from the
butcher.
Butcher.
It's not going to last in your fridge like a store-bought one would.
Not like a McDonald's hamburger that's still around 13 years later.
Yeah.
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 Okay, that's it. We're out of here for tonight. Thanks again, Jason. See you, buddy.